If you've joined us today hoping for some good preaching, excellent music, and beautifully crafted prayers, welcome to a church who is ready and anxious to show you even more. If you joined us today with a mind full of hard-pressed questions and unsure explanations, welcome to a church who has been asking those same questions for a long time and are eager to ask even more. If you've joined us today slightly curious or tremendously ready to learn about this Christian way of life, welcome to a church that has been waiting to share our life-giving, justice-seeking, turn-it-all-on-its-head Christian faith with you. And if you've joined us today confident in what you believe, or if you have no idea what you believe, then believe this. You are welcome here at Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means no matter who you are, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you are fully welcome here. Hello to those of you joining from our chapel in Copley Square, and hello to you joining from France, Lebanon, and all around the world. We'd love to know more about who is worshiping with us today, so please, if you have a chance, sign our virtual friendship pad, whether you're tuning in for the first time or if you're a weekly attender. We want to have a chance to say hi back. You can find our virtual friendship pad along with the worship bulletin for this Sunday at oldsouth.org/Sundays. That's also where you can find the link to our post-worship What's the Word discussion with today's preacher, Nancy Taylor. This is a time set apart, a time for peace and connection and contemplation. Welcome. Welcome to this sacred time. And welcome. For we know that we could not do this sacred and serious work without you. Welcome to church. Loving God, We gather in worship today because you sought us and found us. We come as we are, knowing a place is prepared for us. We bring what we have to receive what you give to us. Bread of life for the world. Grow your kingdom within us. Amen.
Hi kids, it's Pastor Sean. When you wake up in the morning, what's one of the first things you do? Put on clothes. And I love picking my outfit for the day, even if it takes all morning. Putting on clothes is very important. Clothes protect us from getting burned from the sun in the summer, and they keep us dry and warm in the winter. We sometimes wear different types of clothes for certain occasions. We might wear something fancy for a party or for a special event like a wedding. Or we wear something comfy and cozy when we're feeling sick or tired. And sometimes we even wear clothes that say something about us, like a shirt that is our favorite color, or a sports jersey or hat for our favorite team or superhero. The Bible has a lot of instructions in it about how we should live our lives. But did you know it even tells us what we should wear? It's true. It doesn't tell us what kinds of dresses or hats to wear or what color God likes best. God likes all colors. Instead, the Bible tells us that we should clothe ourselves with certain attitudes like kindness, gentleness, love, forgiveness, and patience. Just like how we dress for the day, God wants us to pick out different qualities that might make the world and our lives a little bit better. Think about it like this. When it rains, we put on a raincoat. Well, if we know someone in our family, or if we know one of our friends is having a bad day, we might put on kindness. When it's hot or sunny, we grab a big hat to protect us from the sun. Well, if we know we are going to have a day with a lot to do in it, we might give ourselves a bit of patience to make our day easier. And when it's cold and snowy, we often wrap ourselves in a cozy scarf or sweater. Well, God always wants us to wrap ourselves and those we encounter in love. So the next time you are trying to decide what to wear or what not to wear, be sure you think about what attitude you will also put on that day. And once you put on kindness, gentleness, love, forgiveness, or patience, everyone will see you're dressed in God, which is fashion that never goes out of style. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, help us to wear good attitudes so that everyone can see that we are dressed in you. And we all say, Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as God has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, our Creator, through Him. God bless you.
Thank you to Adrian Anderson for his reading. Adrian and I serve together on the board of PAX World Funds, whose 50th anniversary is this month, and of whose story I am privileged to be a steward. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So writes the Apostle Paul to the Christians gathered in Colossae. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a big ask. Paul is claiming that for the Christian, discipleship is an all-in, 100% adventure, an undertaking that claims all of who we are and how we are, all of what we do and how we do it. Well, there's a story from the 4th century in which some followers of Jesus took exception to this whatever and everything of this instruction. With respect to their Christian discipleship, they were mostly in, but not quite all. The story features a Germanic warrior people, the Franks. Now, some Franks converted early to Christianity, but it was said that when Frankish warriors entered the rivers of baptism, ready to confess Christ as their Lord and Savior, they held out from the water their weapon arm, the arm with which they took life. They held their weapon arm aloft out of the waters of baptism so that they would not have to give up their warring ways. For the Franks, the prospect of putting down their sword and shield was too much, more than they were willing to do, even for Jesus. They were willing to follow Jesus just so far, but not all the way. For a lot of Christians today, one of the areas of our lives that we like to keep to ourselves and not turn over to Jesus are finances. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he was an all-in sort of Christian. He was a whatever you do and everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus sort of Christian. Wesley argued that earning money was fine, even good, and he was quite the earner. Fine and good so long as you do so, quote, without hurting either yourself or your neighbor in soul or body. 50 years ago this month, two Methodist ministers found a way to do just that. They invented a way to earn money on money, that is, they devised a way to invest without hurting their neighbor. This was in the mid-1960s, in the midst of the Vietnam War. Both Agent Orange, an herbicide and defoliant, and napalm, a jellied gas used as a flamethrower, were critical to the U.S. military's chemical warfare strategy during the Vietnam War. Together, however, the chemicals turned Vietnam into a living hell on earth, causing excruciating suffering for millions of Vietnamese, both civilians and soldiers, as well as many soldiers from the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand. Dow Chemical manufactured both chemicals for the U.S. military, and it was in many investment portfolios. So ghastly were the effects of these chemicals on the human body that the Harvard Crimson, the university's newspaper, proclaimed Dow Chemical was, quote, guilty of war crimes and partner to genocide. Pained by the news of how the U.S. was conducting the Vietnam War with its grim human rights abuses, two Methodist ministers, Luther Tyson and Jack Corbett, had become anti-war activists. One day in 1967, Tyson received a letter from a Methodist laywoman asking, "Is there a mutual fund which can manage my pension money without investing in war-related industries?" Well, this seemed like the right question. The answer, there wasn't. Not yet. Tyson raised the idea of creating a vehicle for ethical investing with his colleague Corbett. Together, they went looking for a money manager to help them invest in an ethical way. Long story short, they came into contact with a recent graduate of the Wharton School, Tony Brown. Intrigued by the challenge, Brown devised a model investment portfolio, a mutual fund, to test if the idea of socially responsible investing might work. The model portfolio excluded companies which manufactured Agent Orange, napalm, and all other weapons. They named their mutual fund Pax World. Pax, Latin for peace, world, to signify the length and breadth of their ethical responsibilities as Christians, God's whole world. The Pax World Fund was launched on Tuesday, August 10, 1971, with $101,000. Soon after the fund was launched, Tyson and Corbett realized that if they could screen out weapons manufacturers, they could also screen out other things they deemed inappropriate for church investments. So to the list of the kinds of firms not to invest in, they added tobacco companies and firms that had a record of pollution. As earnest Methodists, they added alcohol and gambling to the list of those products from which they refused to profit. Tyson and Corbett's goal in establishing the Pax World Fund was twofold. First, to enable and encourage individuals, churches, and denominations to invest in accordance with their values. And second, to urge corporations to establish and adhere to minimal standards of social and environmental responsibility, an activist part of their work. To say that the financial world greeted the idea of ethical investing with skepticism is an understatement. When they introduced Pax World and argued their case, Tyson and Corbett took it on the chin. Derided by many, they were accused of relinquishing their fiduciary responsibility to protect shareholders' best interests. But the ministers answered to a higher power. And so too did their investors, who opted into this new investment vehicle, welcoming the opportunity to bring their consciences and moral values and spiritual values to bear on their investing. 50 years later, such investing has come a very long way. While it still screens negatively, it also employs inclusionary screens, looking for companies with good corporate governance practices, as well as good performance on a whole variety of environmental and social issues. If the strategy was scoffed at in 1971, and it was just last month, sustainable investment assets in the U.S. reached $35 trillion, or 36% of all managed assets. To the question posed by a Christian laywoman in 1967, can I invest in accordance with my Christian values? And to the theological question posed by John Wesley, can I earn money without hurting my neighbor? Tyson, Corbett, and Brown found a way to say, yes, yes, you can. Put differently, we don't have to be like the Franks, holding back a part of whatever we do from Jesus. We can be all in. On the 50th anniversary of this progenitor of ethical investing, I am profoundly grateful to Luther Tyson, Jack Corbett, and Tony Brown, all three of whom I knew, all today of blessed memory, for their vision and moral courage, for their refusal to profit from unconscionable human misery, and for proving that one can indeed bring one's humanity and one's spirituality, as well as one's intellectual savvy, to the art and science of investing. My friends, here is our North Star. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, including how you earn, save, manage, and spend your money, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Rest shall be the first. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, God of the stars and the sunsets, God of the blue of the sky and the green of the earth, God of warm sunshine and refreshing, renewing rain, and God also of cookouts and gatherings of friends, of the delight of children joyously splashing in pools, lakes, and oceans, of porches and backyards for rest and conversation. O loving God, we thank you for all of your gifts and the knowledge that we can rest and be refreshed within your tender care. You have been and are merciful and faithful, so this day we come to you for moments of quiet in the midst of our self-made busyness. We come to you for energy in our weariness. We come to you for challenge when we are willing to settle for our own small plans and dreams. We come to you longing for the peace of your presence, even as we are sometimes afraid of your call to discipleship. And we have also come in the quietness of these moments today, bearing in our hearts some of the sorrows and pain of our world. The gun violence that continues to stalk our land, the plight of refugees at home and abroad. Oh, the ugly head of white supremacy that manifests itself in so many ways, of the pandemic's ongoing effect on so many lives, and of the created world around us that needs more of our care and our concern. Help us to keep all of this in our prayers, and help us, O God, to keep our pledge to work for the healing and renewal of all of your people and of the larger created world. And we pray, too, for ourselves, with our joys, our concerns, and our need for a day-by-day word of hope and encouragement. May we leave this service today with that word of hope planted firmly in our hearts. Oh, refresh us, renew us, pour out your Spirit upon us, and give us courage for the days ahead. Hold us close as we journey with you into our tomorrows. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, our companion, our friend and Savior, who invited us to pray, saying, O gracious and loving God, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
John Wesley shared these words: "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." These words by John Wesley invite us to be present. Invite us to be present to who we are, where we are, who we're with, what we're doing, how we are with others. His words invite us to connect with our worth and value, that we are indeed a people who impact and shape things, and in understanding and knowing our agency in our actions and ways of being, we can impact and transform our lives and the lives and lived realities of those around us. And so this morning, we invite you to give as you can. To give, you can hover your cursor over the screen and the donate button will appear. Or you can go to oldsouth.org/donate. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. You are invited to this table as black and brown, white and Asian, queer and straight, old and young, rich and poor. Beloveds, you are called to this table exactly as you are. At this table, we become one with each other and with all for whom Christ died. At this table, we give thanks. At this table, we come together to share a simple meal of grain and vine. Siblings in Christ, at this table, we recall that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus ate a meal with his disciples. It was at that meal that he foretold of his betrayal and desertion at the hands of those same disciples. And yet still, he prepared for them the same meal that we now share. The Lord Jesus first took a loaf of bread, gave thanks for it, broke it, and blessed it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and said, "This is the sign of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." Beloveds, at this table, if you are hungry, eat. If you are thirsty, drink. There is no fee nor special condition. You are invited to this table, whether you've always believed, believed once, and are working to believe again, or have never believed at all, and yet still found yourself here this morning. You are invited to this table, even if there are others from which you've been turned away. Beloved, dine at this table. Share this meal. There is more than enough to go around. Let us pray. O God, potter of creation, artist of souls, bless this meal. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at this table, that our eyes may be opened and that we might recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. Beloveds, this meal is now ready. Take and eat, take and drink. Feast with joy, feast with thanksgiving. Having partaken in this meal, might we recall that it is indeed a joyful feast. So if you feel moved to dance or shout or sing, do it. Do all of it. We pray that the joy of this union with each other and with Christ might carry us forward in peace, in mercy, in grace, that it might carry us forward towards a new creation. Lord, we give thanks for the sharing of this meal and the sharing of this joy. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
a Franciscan benediction. May God bless you with discomfort, at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your own heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this wide world. And let the whole church say, Amen.